CliffCentral.com.
Hey, it's Yogi Bear. What's wrong? Is there a problem with the sound? What's up? Monday morning, huh? Second week of February already. Can you believe this? Things are happening, baby. Things are moving. So, what did anybody and everybody do over the weekend? Any exciting stories? Anything worth trumpeting home? Ben, I'm guessing no.
No, I did a variety of things. I'm trying to think what's actually interesting. Well, you know, without being called old and that kind of stuff. It's a tough game, this weekend sharing.
I know. It's good that we share. All right, let's start with Sia. Give Ben a break.
Okay, well, you know there's a song, I Woke Up in a New Bugatti?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I woke up in a new Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
That's the highlight of my entire
week. She was at the Super Bowl last night, right?
Well, more than that. It's currently actually...
Oh, she launched her music video.
Yeah, right. Let's not just nonchalantly pass that by. Beyonce released a new song with a new music video that nobody expected, but now reports say that she's actually going to embark on a new tour straight after a performance.
So let me get this right. The highlight of your weekend was... seeing somebody you haven't met and don't know personally.
Let's rephrase. Doing her job.
And did no one expect this? Yeah, she's a musician. She brings out. Did you really not expect it?
Here's my thing. You know, I usually wake up over weekends. I'll say at about like 8 a.m. You know, get a couple of more hours sleep than
early
I do
riser,
weekday.
Huh? Okay.
But on Sunday morning, I woke up at like 5 a.m. and I was like, what is going on, my... Shaka Khan's inside are disaligned, so I just woke up and I went onto Twitter and I saw Formation. My life was made.
Now, isn't she doing a world tour or something as well? She launched that at the Super Bowl.
Now, you see, the whole thing was Beyonce was just going to come on at the Super Bowl with Coldplay, because Coldplay are the headlining act.
And Bruno Mars, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But now everyone is calling it the Beyonce show. Who cares about that small British?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I saw a lot more noise about Lady Gaga's version of the anthem, which people were going crazy for. I'll play that for you a little bit later on.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, like, you know... You expect this now from Beyonce, and this is the difficult thing about being in her position is you have to keep on doing something amazing.
Exactly. Soon surprises aren't going to be much of a surprise anymore.
Right. And every time she has to outthink everybody else in order to bring out something that people will pay attention to. Because if she does just the normal routine stuff, even if it's great material, people are going to go, oh, it's more of the same. And you know, I am not the biggest Beyonce fan in the world. While I admire and respect her career, I don't listen to her music. And I find a lot of what she does pretty whiny and irritating. No, it is. She's not the greatest singer in the world. I doubt very much that anyone would say she is. But she's an incredible performer. She's a powerhouse. She's a tremendously successful woman in her own right. She's got this power relationship with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm.
And she looks spectacular. So, you know, what does my criticism matter? Who the hell am I?
Well, just like Kid Rock, maybe you might want to mind what you say. So I kind of find this very hilarious.
Why, what happened?
And so immature. A while ago, Kid Rock commented on Beyonce as well, saying something along the lines of, you know, Beyonce to me doesn't have effing Purple Rain. She isn't, you know, the biggest thing on earth. So basically undermining Beyonce. So what
right.
do
well,
Beyonce...
Well, no, he's just... No, he's not undermining. I mean, this is the problem with the world.
Undermining.
The 21st century is full of people who feel microaggressions in everywhere. The one person I can guarantee you doesn't care about what Kid Rock says is Beyonce.
Well,
all her fans, these moron losers who've got nothing going on in their own lives and feel they have to stand up for Beyonce. It's like people who... get upset when you blaspheme because they have to stand up for God.
Yes.
These people are the ones who would have caused all kinds of shit and chaos afterwards, right?
Yeah. So they call themselves the Beehive.
Oh, God.
And they just started commenting on Kid Rock's Instagram with bees. all the time. So whenever Kid Rock would post something, they'd just like spam him with bees until the point where he actually hasn't posted.
Like in nursery school.
He hasn't posted anything in months because he just...
How about you are allowing other people their opinion even if you disagree with them? How about that? Is that too much to ask?
Clearly it is.
Yeah. I'm telling you, this whole political correctness thing and people who get upset about every little thing. I was so furious over the weekend. Did you see the story about these two girls who might be expelled from university in Stellenbosch because they painted themselves purple at an alien party, and it got out of control, and a whole lot of idiots started to say, well, they are doing blackface, and it's a race thing. Nobody bothered to check. Everybody got all hysterical, as they usually do. And it turns out these two girls had glitter and purple paint on because it was an alien space party. What's wrong with people? Suddenly you had all the Ntsiki Mazwais and Simpiwe Danas and Andilan Glitamas and Isetu Hassanis, all these other shit-stirring ass-lickers, all out there trying to tell each other and everyone else that this was an outrage to all black people, which it clearly was not. Now, these two girls might not be able to go to university anymore for going to a party as aliens. This political correctness is out of control. And who are the judges and the juries in this? You understand now why I had to go and fight this thing in court?
Yeah, yeah.
Out of control. I'm the only one kicking back here. Fucking losers. I'm over it. I read this story in the paper over the weekend. I was just horrified. Like, 20 mubs. How dumb are you when you're 20, you're 19, 20 years old, you're at varsity for the first time, you dress up for a party, you're not dressing like Hitler, which Prince Harry actually did.
Yeah, it's so old though.
You know? And these two girls, they go for a party, for God's sake. It's the first week of university, everybody's drunk. Now they might not be able to go to university because they sprayed themselves purple or they painted themselves purple and put glitter on because it was an alien space party. I'm sorry, there's just nobody who can say that they're on the right side of anything in respect to these girls. There is no moral high ground to be gained for taking down two young ladies for dressing up for a party at university. Who thinks that that's an affront to them? How simple are you that you think that this is about you? You think these two girls dressed up like aliens because they thought they would... Oh, this will really upset people. Let's do this. It's insane. I was furious when I read this thing. Is there no sense anymore? Does the university have no goddamn balls that they call immediately for everybody to calm down and say, listen, these two girls were dressed as aliens. Everybody calm down.
But it's the way of the mob nowadays. All this must fall crap, and then people make an outrage or something, and something happens.
I'm over it. I'm sick and tired of this crap. I'm not going to respond to anyone and their race baiting and their microaggressions and their stupidity and their political correctness. I'm just not going to respond. Could care less. And you know what? Eventually, these people are going to destroy humor. I read such an interesting article over the weekend in Vanity Fair magazine about political correctness in Britain. There was this professor. Listen to this story. This professor goes to a women's science symposium where he's going to deliver a paper, and his whole paper was about how it's important that we up the number of women in science, right? Not enough female Nobel Prize winners in science and so on. And this was his whole speech. But to get everybody chilled, in the beginning, he cracks some joke.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not a particularly offensive joke. I can't even remember what it was. It was in the article, and it was so bland that it's not even worth looking up. The point is, he tells this joke, and suddenly a whole bunch of political correct police suddenly start climbing into him, including this one woman journalist who, I don't know what kind of a chip she has on her shoulder.
Uh-oh.
But this guy, this professor, gets fired. He gets fired. Now, he delivers his speech, and by the way, if you read the speech, you couldn't you couldn't find a guy who's more in favor of women in the sciences. But because of that joke, the PC police are on top of him. And they fired this professor. And now, and it was all a big storm in a teacup, because now that the dust has settled, everybody's apologizing to everybody, and this woman journalist is running high. She's run and hidden away. She's climbed into a cave somewhere where, you know, she probably was before, because we didn't know who the hell she was at that stage. And her big heroic stand against this evil misogynist professor has turned out to be nothing. And this guy, who's a brilliant scientist, maybe not the best speaker in the world, maybe he's got a shitty idea of what comedy's meant to be, but this guy's now without a job. And we are the poorer for it, because we have one less brilliant scientist. All because we don't want someone's feelings to be hurt. Some little nobody sitting somewhere with bugger all in their life and bugger all value and contribution to add to the rest of humanity is feeling hurt, so they decide to take down a professor, this journalist, and her cohorts. Outrageous. Unbelievable. Anyway. So, Black Box says, Gareth, you must be colorblind. That's not purple, but please go and read. Do me a favor, Black Box. And if you, I don't care if you never listen to me again. Go and read what happened there. Go and read what the party was, what the theme of the party was. You tell me if you think that the one thing these girls wanted to achieve in the climate we've got in this country at the moment was to cause racial problems. You tell me. I mean, it's outrageous. Ashwin says, you and Donald Trump both agree political correctness is bullshit. Everyone is waiting to be offended. Go fuck themselves. Yeah, well, then I am on Donald Trump's side on that front. I am. Because I do believe that this political correctness is going to do nothing good for us. You heard Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld. The greatest comedians of our time will not go to college campuses because they're all these uppity young people with chips on their shoulders and issues that they're carrying, and they respond to everything with offense, like the world is meant to be a safe space for them. Well, it isn't. The world is going to be full of people who do not like you. The world is going to be full of people who say nasty things, and you're just going to have to grow a thick skin. That's how the world works. No one's going to protect you. And some of those things are going to be unacceptable, and you know what? The ones that are really unacceptable, they'll be prosecuted in the courts, and you'll be able to take them up in the right way. The ones that are not important, you've got to grow a pair. Who told you when you were 2 years old, no one will ever hurt you, honey pie? Because it's a lie. Somewhere along the way, something horrible is going to happen to you. And you know what? The earlier it happens in your life, the better. Woosa. Well, that wasn't my weekend. I had a very chilled weekend. I watched a bit of some TV. You have got to see a series called Billions.
Yeah, Michael's been talking about that. Yeah.
Have you watched it already? You watched the first episode?
Unbelievable. That's how I expect Anthea's lifestyle to be like, with just trading and money-hungry people.
That would be insulting to Anthea, I think.
No, me and Anthea talk about the series a lot. She loves it. I love it.
Okay, well, we'll chat to her. I'd like to hear her thoughts on it as well. Who do you reckon you are in that show?
I'm definitely that big boss that just wants to, like, F everybody over. He orders the hitmen, stuff like that.
Yeah, Damien...
The main dude.
Yeah, with the ginger hair.
Ginger hair?
Yeah, he's ginger. He's the same guy from Homeland.
No, I'm talking about the boss of the company.
Yeah, Axelrod.
Yes, Axelrod. Yeah. He's got ginger hair.
Yes, the actor has.
I must get HD.
No, you must get you put your glasses on when you watch TV. It's a good show, though. Wow.
Unbelievable.
Everything's in there. And you really get to see kind of... This is a part of the world that very few of us will ever be involved in. You know, these billionaires... Sorry. Bit of gas from the morning. These billionaires, these people who live these incredibly charmed lives. But remember, with all that money comes pressure. And there's the U.S. Attorney General's looking into this guy. He deals with some shady people. And, you know, the more you have, the more exposed you are to everybody else. And the more dangerous your life becomes, because to people who really want what you've got, I mean, it's unbelievable. Anyway, Roman says, on the other thing, the girls were wearing tinfoil hats, great ornaments for the perpetually offended who called them racist. Andrew says, Gareth, if that isn't enough, how about the ANC Youth League defending Jay-Z in every mess he has and attacking Julius Malema? I'm telling you and warning you with peace and love that something bad is looming ahead. Yeah, I saw Colin Maine, who can barely fit in a studio chair, being interviewed on television. The guy, seriously, he's eating his way to being on top. Colin Maine, and how many people must be left in the ANC Youth League? 20? I mean, they called that protest at Standard Bank the other day against Chris Hart, and 25 people, I think, pitched up. It was embarrassing. I mean, the EFF even mocked them. Because all the strong people from the Youth League left and went to join the EFF.
Who's the head of the Youth League, though? Do we even
Colin Maine. Colin, okay. Yeah, this fat Jabba the Hutt. Sits in this chair. And I mean, he's close to 40 years old, which is fine, but you can't be in the Youth League if you're 40 years old. And he's grossly fat, and he's not particularly intelligent, and this is the guy in charge of the Youth League. Well, good luck to the Youth League trying to get their credibility back. I'm about as interested, amazed, and turned on by the Youth League as I am by a bunch of snails on a leaf in the garden. Outrageous. So, yeah, Andrew, you make a good point. But, of course, they're going to defend the president. All they've got is the president. If he comes out of there and Colin Maine falls, you'll never hear the name Colin Maine again. If Jacob Zuma disappears, Colin Maine disappears with him. And so do 95% of the cabinet. You will never hear from people like Faith Mutambi ever again in your life. I can promise you now, she'll die in obscurity. Xavier says, did you see the crane falling in Manhattan? Wow. Oh, wow. That must be incredible. You see these cranes. Do you remember about 2 years ago, there was that massive storm? They had a big, big storm in New York, and they were building this enormously tall building. And the crane started to fall. Because cranes go up, it's like 200 floors or whatever. And this thing was hanging precariously, and they had to be very careful about how to disassemble it. And there were pictures all over the place of this crane trying to fix this building. Anyway, so, Flax, anything exciting from the weekend?
Yes, this lifestyle is killing me. Chilling with rappers on Saturday.
Who?
Drinking Ciroc.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Deleuze's all-white pool party.
Uh-huh.
Was insane. Got rained out, and you guys thought I was joking when I said I'm friends with AKA and them. I'm legit friends with him. I was helping him move his car. We had a big chat. We took
You were helping AKA move his car?
Yeah, he had to get to a performance in Durban, and I wasn't going to let him miss it.
Explain to me what happened here.
AKA arrived with Bonang.
Okay.
They must be the most stylish couple.
I love the way that those two are pretending for how many months that they weren't an item. Now they just pitch up at parties together. There's no big deal.
You see, they arrive together, and everyone starts talking.
I mean, 3 months ago, these two were denying. Do you remember, Mubs? Nobody knew anything about it.
I don't remember them denying. They just never said anything about it.
Well, it's still that whole thing of basically Bonang is a homewrecker. Because if you've forgotten, DJ Zintle and AKA were together. DJ Zintle was pregnant. Mm-hmm. AKA went off.
I love the way AKA, by the way, doesn't get the blame here. Bonang does.
Well, look, if she's a homewrecker, then most of us are homewreckers. Because I'm telling you now, a lot of women have slept with somebody else's men. These are the facts of life. Can we just have adult conversations, please?
Have you?
This is what men and women do to each other. They cheat on each other. All the time.
Yeah, I agree.
All the time.
Have you?
Let's have adult conversations here.
Yes. Yeah, come on. You brought it up. Come on.
Yeah, I've cheated on people.
Have you cheated with a married man?
No, not a married man, but somebody else's boyfriend.
Oh, well. You know what? He wanted you more than her.
No, not really. It was just a 5-minute sex thing. That's all it was.
5 minutes?
Yeah.
That's twice what I lost. Well, at least you admit it. I once slept with a married woman.
Yeah, well, this is what people do, though. Yeah, this is what we do.
Of course, but she was in the process of getting divorced, and her husband was a douche.
Oh, so that
justification.
No. I only figured this out afterwards. And she did divorce him about 3 months later, but not because of me. I think she was just unhappy. I mean, listen, if you're in an unhappy relationship, you're going to sleep with someone outside of that relationship. That happens. And if you're in a relationship that's deteriorating, you start acting out, you know. Let's not get judgmental. I'm with my buddy. You don't judge people like this. And if Bonang's a homewrecker, then so is AKA. In fact, he's worse because he turned his back on the woman he was with and the child who was yet to be born in order to get some booty from a particularly attractive, I'll admit, woman.
Touché.
Yeah. But you know what? None of our business. I do think it's funny, though, that they now pitch up at parties together and everything's out there in the open. Everything's cool and... You know, because a while ago they definitely wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
Remember, people spotted them in Camps Bay and they were like, but look at AK! They're sitting at this restaurant! It's so exciting! Alright, so your friend AK, what happens?
So they arrived together and I felt like being like TMZ a bit, so I start live tweeting AK and Bonang just arrived together, got out the same car, and then people start putting their words out, oh, homewrecker, blah, blah, blah. Hmm. And then it got me thinking, like, yeah, they had relationship issues. But DJ Zinclair and AKA, they need to be grateful the fact they have this beautiful, beautiful baby Cairo. Mm. And instead of now focusing on trying to fix their relationship, AKA can focus on being a great dad, Zinclair a great mom, and now everyone just needs to back off from them. AKA's with Bonang, so be it. Let them be happy together. AKA's a great dad, it looks like. Zinclair's an amazing mother.
I love the way he's so involved.
Flex, how do you... Okay, you know what,
he's
never
so
mind.
He's so involved. How do you know they're good parents?
You'd swear that you wake up in their homes every morning and you observe their parents.
How do you know this?
I watch them on social media. They're very cute together. I watch Zinclair on Snapchat. Cairo's adorable. She's just starting to walk. So then they leave together. So I live tweet that. They're leaving together. I'm like snapping photos from behind a tree. So then I see...
From behind the tree.
I see it's raining now. AKA needs to get to performance. I see he's battling to get his car out. He doesn't know what to do. So I go up to the window. I knock on the window. I'm like, hey, can I help you get your car out? He's like, oh, my man, thanks so much. Keep doing what you do. Keep real. So then he gets out. We help move this umbrella thing. And then he notices he still can't get it out. So then I'm like, chill. Come chill under the shade here. I'll go get Delez. So I send someone to go call Delez to move these other beamers that were in the way. And while they went to go call Delez, we're chilling, we're having a chat. He's thanking me for moving the umbrella. We take a photo together. We're just bonding, basically.
I'm sorry, you lost me about 5 seconds ago.
I couldn't.
But all right. Oh, hey, listen.
Basically, Flax and AKA are legit, like...
This is your dream.
He's so cool.
Okay.
Everything about him is cool.
Now he's the alpha male.
Is he the new Justin Bieber in your life?
No, he's basically the Justin Bieber of South Africa.
Whoa. I don't think you'd take that as a compliment, but okay.
I am amazed by one thing. It's like you're always going to be the bridesmaid and never the bride.
Oh.
Now, this is the sad thing about this whole story, Flex, is you'll always be somebody's, like, fan. You don't realize that, right?
No, you got to sleep your way to the top. So the bridesmaid will sleep her way through all the groomsmen till finally she is the bride.
That's not how you haven't been to a lot of weddings, have you? No.
You got to fake it till you make it. You got to believe.
These people who you look up to, like Justin Bieber and AKA and all the rest of it, you're hoping some of whatever they've got, like you think it's magic or whatever, it's going to rub off on you.
You know, it's
celebrity worship. It's unnecessary.
AKA told me it starts out with a pipe dream.
No, a pipe dream. Do you know what a pipe dream is?
Isn't it like a vision?
No, a pipe dream is a dream that will never come true.
Oh.
So if he said it starts with a pipe dream, then he really has no idea what's coming
up. And that's from a song. He didn't tell him personally, Mike Kelly, I believe.
Oh, okay, so he didn't tell you that.
He didn't tell him this on Saturday, Mick.
Oh, this is embarrassing. You know what, I'm going to stop this just so that you can save face.
Give me 10 years. 10 years.
10 years?
That's 10 years.
For what?
And then AKA will be talking about me like this.
All right. Hey, I hope so for your sake. I really do.
Hard work, dedication, and determination.
By the way, Ben has been banging his head into the desk for the last 15 minutes and looks like he's starting to lose consciousness.
No, sorry? Hello? What?
This is coming to...
Oh, there's a great picture of you and AKA.
I told you! Yeah. I wasn't joking.
Standing together in some garden.
And we're soaking wet.
Gay lovers.
Yeah.
Flex, friends of rappers don't tweet about them and move their cars. That's what groupies do. Yeah, that's true. Friends just hang. Friends would be going with him to the airport.
Sorry, friends help friends.
I sort of passed out at the beginning of this car guard story. Did you get a 5 rand at the end or what?
Well, that's it. Yeah, car guard. That's what you were. Good point, Ben. Thank you. All right, Ben, since you've just woken up, it's time to get to the sport. And we've got Anthea coming in. Let's not waste a minute.
It's date night, and your wife wants you to bring Ray to bed with you. You suggested Tyrion, or maybe even Sheldon if she fancied something a little different. But no, Ray Donovan it is. So you get your tablet and you meet her in the bedroom. Because with Showmax for 99 Rand a month, you get to watch full seasons of the biggest series. On the couch, in the kitchen, in bed. Online, anytime. So get to Showmax.com and get your 7-day free trial.
Final score of the Beyonce Bowl, the Beyonce Broncos 24, the Beyonce Panthers 10. So in case you need to know what's happening there, now you know. Right.
So, hang on. Who won? I didn't hear that in all that Beyonce.
The Beyonce Broncos.
The Beyonce Broncos. Oh, right. They were 24, and the Beyonce Panthers were 10.
All right. Do we care about Super Bowl?
People always go, "Oh, I can't believe we can't watch a Super Bowl. They're not showing it."
Isn't
like,
there a
cares?
Channel that you can show it here?
No.
There's no channel in South Africa.
It's such a lot of hype. You haven't watched a single game the entire season, but you give a shit suddenly about the Super Bowl. Come on. It's all about the halftime show and the ads, which you can watch on YouTube like now. So I mean.
Oh, I saw that Audi ad. That's very good. Yeah, you see it?
There's lots of amazing ads.
The Audi ad is basically this this old guy who used to be an astronaut, and his son comes and picks him up from the old age home and takes him in an R8.
I haven't seen it, but yeah, I'll go with that.
And he has flashbacks to being in the, you know, the rocket and everything.
Clever.
Yeah, it's cool. It's very nice. And they've got David Bowie's Starman as the soundtrack.
Nice.
Very good.
Yeah, so watch the ads. Who cares about the actual sport? Unless you're a fan, then well done, Beyonce Bronco fans. Big day for you. Right, into football. Big, big weekend of football. Because Leicester, well, they just get better and better. They are now 5 points ahead of the top of the log. Tottenham Hotspurs are now second. Who would have thought that here we are, beginning of Feb, and Leicester 1, Spurs 2 is how we look at the log. Well, with good results, that's how it happens, really. Leicester went to Man City and they won 3-1. Absolutely incredible result there. It's just such a good team. Like, it's good to watch. And everyone has the, as people are saying, everyone's second team right now is Leicester because they're just fun to watch. And they are a team of essential nobodies when you really think of it. I mean, Vardy's becoming a big name. This Mahrez as well, Mahrez, super, super player. And 3-1 for Man City. Now, Man City were looking to kind of use a game like this to get closer to the top and then sort of make a run for the title. But no, Spurs beat Watford 1-0. So the two of them are streaking ahead. Liverpool, they drew 2-2 with Sunderland. So funny, they were doing so well. They were 2-0 up. The fans were looking to do kind of protest to how terrible their season is so far. But they were 2-0 up and they were so happy. And then Sunderland scored in the 82nd and 89th minute. What? Other news, the big game yesterday was Man United versus Chelsea. Before that, Arsenal beat Bournemouth 2-0. But Man United, they were 1-0 up, and they were 1-0 up all the way into the 90th minute. And then Diego Costa, he scored a late goal. So it's going to be a very interesting title race. We've known this for quite some time, but it really is looking so good. If you look at the points, okay, Leicester 53... Then there's a big gap. There's Spurs 48, Arsenal 48, and then Man City 47. So you got to say it's those four. Man United are 6 points behind that and not playing great football. And then post that, you got West Ham, Southampton, Everton, Liverpool, and Watford making up your top 10. So pleasant for Europe. Wow, how exciting. To think that Spurs and Leicester could be in Europe. These are exciting times that we're living in right now. Also pretty exciting locally is how Sundowns are kind of streaking away here. Now, all top five teams were in action over the weekend, all with wins except for Black Aces. Black Aces could only manage a draw at Celtic against Celtic 0-0. Sundowns beating Free State Stars rather comprehensively away 5-2. Chiefs, they beat Maritzburg 3-2. Arrows, they went down 1-0 to the Wits, and Platinum Stars, really good win there over Polokwane 3-0. So, and even Pirates won, but they're so far down the log now. So if you look at the log there, Sundowns at the top, they got 42, Bidvest Wits 36, Black Aces 35, Kaizer Chiefs 32, and Platinum Stars 30. So it's a nice tight top five, but who can ever kind of catch Sundowns at the moment? You must be ecstatic about that.
I'm very happy. It's about, well, listen, this has been a many-year investment, and I'm still waiting for it to come to fruition.
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. And the fact they're scoring lots of goals, too, it also really helps their cause. Yeah. It was the Sydney Sevens over the weekend as well in rugby, and the Blitzboks looked pretty good in their group stage. They then went through and had Australia in the quarters. Fortunately, Australia, well, they won. Yeah.
Okay.
Simple as that, really. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry, wait, that was the semis we're talking about. The semis, yeah, we beat Argentina in the quarters. It was just such a one-sided game.
Are you making
game.
This up as you go, Ben?
I'm not going. Are you sure? Never. You know, I practice night and day. So Australia beat South Africa in the semis. New Zealand beat Fiji in the other semi, which then set up a dream final down there of New Zealand versus Australia down in Sydney. New Zealand, well, they're finding new ways to cheat. Not only do they just always have the sympathy of the world rugby, so they can do what they want, they now bring on another player every now and again. In the group stages, they managed to draw against Australia with 8 men in the field. But anyway, all was forgotten as they went into the final. Australia streaked ahead to a really, really good lead, and they were looking so good. But then they stood up a couple of New Zealand runners, and before you know it, New Zealand were winning again in injury time. So it's 2 out of 2 now down that part of the world. They're doing really well in the sevens after a pretty sluggish start. 27-24, the final score there. But more interestingly, though, for me, was the Six Nations test yesterday, Ireland versus Wales. Now, the Six Nations is sometimes really, really boring. Like, really, 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 really boring. And when I say that and use the word really 5 times, of course, talking about England, they beat Scotland 15-9. Very boring match there. France only beat Italy by 2 points, 23-21. But the game, the final game of the weekend, was such a great match, like a real battle of attrition, all that kind of stuff. Wales got out to a 13-0, sorry, Ireland got out to a 13-0 lead. And then Wales just kept pegging back. They did this without Dan the Macarena Bigger as well. He hurt his ankle and he had to go off pretty early on, I think after about the 20th minute. But Wales, they got a lot of fight in them. It's just they couldn't quite get there. They did have a 3-point lead going into the final stages, but then Johnny Sexton, he slotted a penalty. So 16-0 it is. And I kind of thought if Wales could win this, then they definitely have the inside track to winning the whole title. They still very much are in contention there. Ireland showed some pretty gutsy displays there, but also they just don't have the ability to score tries. England, they didn't show much, but they did get a win first up. It could have been a potentially tricky match in Scotland. So it's a 3-horse race there for the title, and it's going to be very, very interesting going forward. Then I tried to push it off as long as I could, but hey, let's talk about cricket. Mm-hmm. Another loss to the English. Oh, another loss. And, you know, when we lost the Test series, our team looked like there was in Tetris, really. That one-day team is now looking the exact same. And it all kind of comes down to this sort of fifth birder, I think. And the game in Bloemfontein, I think if the rain didn't screw us around, we might have won that one. Quinton de Kock was looking good, our batsmen were playing with confidence, and that 399 would have been caught. The 400 would have been, I believe, because I'm quite optimistic with these guys. But then we go to PE, and it's just the same crap, though. Batting lineup didn't quite kick on. Look, PE isn't the ground you get a huge amount of runs in. So 262 wasn't the worst total. It was about 20 short. Abe de Villiers said as much afterwards. I mean, he did well. He got 73. JP Dimony finally got some runs. He got 47. But we had a dodgy start, and there was a decent middle, but then there was nothing at the end. Which brings the problem with this team is, from 7 down, we don't have a tail that bats well, and we haven't really got a tail that's even going to bowl well, which renders you bloody useless in one-day cricket. So give an example of that. Anil Rashid and Mohammad Ali, 20 overs, 1 wicket for 84 runs. That's pretty good, right, for your sort of fifth bowler category person.
Right.
South Africa, well, they had Dumini, Behardin, and Tahir having the exact same sort of role in the team. They're 20 overs, no wickets, and 0 for 128. So you can do the maths on that one. We're pretty much dog shit right now. And that there's no, so we haven't got a number 7 batsman to stay in the tail and kick on and score a good handy 30, or a number 8. Our tail is very long. So you've got to think, what is Behardin actually going to add to this team other than spectacular drop catches in the outfield? Sure, he makes a big effort and he can do a bit of everything, but why not just get a decent batsman who can at least bat and then get a bowler who can at least bowl? Do something, because there's bits and pieces of cricket. Even though it's nice to be versatile and flexible, England are showing us up right now because they've got guys who could just take responsibility and really do well when given the ball or the bat. None of our guys are doing that. This bottom order really, really is worrying. Mm-hmm. So you kind of think, what can you do? Well, you can maybe bring in David Vista, but I wouldn't do that. Bring back Morris is probably the best thing. So even though you want to take pace off the ball, you can't do that and be bowling long hops, not using the pitch. It's just frustrating watching these guys bowl like this. And English batsmen, well, they just stand and deliver. I mean, if you look at it, Hales had 99 over the weekend. He did pretty well. And then Butler comes to the crease, 48 from 28. The guy's not challenged. He's just not being challenged. Even Ali got 21 of 15. They're just playing with us, really. It's very sad, Gareth. The next game is tomorrow. They'll be at Centurion.
Is there any point watching this?
Yes, because if we win this one and then we win at the Wanderers on Friday, it then sets up a decider in Cape Town on the Sunday. But there's all these ifs. I'm tired of talking about this team with if and if and if and if. Finally, in golf, the Phoenix Open had a huge crowd as usual. It broke the previous records. So many people went to go watch the golf. So many people just drunk and cheering, having a really great time. And Hideki Matsuyama was the winner. Ricky Fowler was with him in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a four-hole playoff. But the 17th hole was just unkind to Fowler the whole week. He hit in the water there again, and Matsuyama got the title. And over in Dubai, Danny Willett, he got the title there. He held off a late charge by Sullivan, and his 19 under score was good enough for the win. It's a huge title. That's a very prestigious title, and it's a great way to start the year for these guys. And that was your whole weekend in sport.
Wow. Well, I mean, I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted from your summary.
Me too.
Unbelievable. All right, Ben, thank you very much. The biggest fan of the new series Billions is in the studio with us. That is Anthea Gardner. Let's find out immediately what's happening in the markets and everything to do with those billions. I'm happy to see you.
She looks hard for the money. So hard for it, honey. She was hard for the money.
You know, I was thinking maybe we should put you in the studio and redo this song because I feel maybe we didn't get the best take out of you this time.
You keep threatening to do that.
How are you, Anthea?
I'm good, thanks. So, Billions, eh?
Yeah, what a show.
Yeah, I
watched episode one, and I'm definitely hooked. I can't wait to see the rest. I think there are two more already out.
Flax and I keep talking about it. We laugh about it.
Tell
and
me so how those conversations go for you. Because Flax just sees this lifestyle, and he sees these people, he has no idea of how the money is made, and exactly. I don't think he particularly cares for it.
He just said so a minute ago. He goes, I'm going to be a trader. That's how it is, because that's how he thinks my life is. Except,
it's so
of course, minus the blonde wife, the $83 million holiday
Hamptons,
home.
Yeah.
And thank God, not the SEC on my back for insider trading. But other than that, of course that's me.
Yeah,
really,
sure.
Flex.
And of course, it didn't take you long to get there. It wasn't hard work. You didn't have to study and pay attention and be extraordinarily disciplined and work for a whole bunch of probably slimy people before you got to make your own decisions.
Actually, I know this is not the entertainment section, but have you guys seen The Big Short?
Yes.
And?
Ben
what do you
has.
Think of it?
He loved
it.
He was raving about it.
Such an amazing movie.
Okay.
And it's a movie you have to watch to understand what this world's really about and what really happens.
It's such a good take on what actually did happen, and it explains it so well. Because last week I was talking about short squeezes and shorting shares, and that's exactly what it is, The Big Short.
Yeah.
So a good explanation, and I'm glad they put it into terms that everyone can understand, or at least I think so.
I think it's also the scariest movie I've seen since The Ring.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
There's a lot of evil out there.
So all I need now is the T-shirt, because I was actually there. I lived through it. I was working for Morgan Stanley London when Lehman's went under. And, you know, one of the guys was the Morgan Stanley hedge fund.
Sure.
And so there's a scene in the movie where the Lehman's guys are carrying their boxes out the office.
Mm-hmm.
And my office was next to the Lehman building. So I actually vividly remember people carrying their boxes out. Whoa. Morgan Stanley CDS spiking, the share price falling. It was really scary.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's some terrifying stuff, because that's lives ruined.
Yeah, for sure.
And not just the people who worked at those institutions, but all the people whose money they were trading with.
Yeah. And all those homes lost and retail clients lost homes.
Real life consequences. So you see, Flax, Billions is all about the guy who's making the money, but I guarantee you by the end of the season, you'll see how miserable his life is. If the show has any balls, they'll go that way. Right?
Well, I don't know.
No, you'll see. He's going to go through ups and downs. You watch.
Yeah. And you think he's going to come out okay in the end?
how many of these billionaires that we know have lost everything and had to start again? Mm-hmm. A lot of them.
Absolutely.
Some amazing stories there. Yeah. All right, but enough about the world of entertainment. Let's start off with
The world of entertainment. Did you see Nene's resignation story on Friday?
Yeah.
I mean, that's entertainment.
So, here's our finance minister last year. Gets fired by the president. President says, we've got an important job for him at the BRICS Bank. That's why I'm putting David Van Rooyen in. So we all go, okay. The markets react very badly. Within 2 days, the president's changed his mind. Apparently, he asked Nhlanhla Nene to come back. Nhlanhla Nene said to him, fuck you. So they decided that he would be told, or the public would be told, that he was going to go and take up this job at the BRICS Bank. Meanwhile, Pravin says he'll step in like a good servant, and he takes over the finance ministry again, and Nhlanhla Nene is waiting now for this BRICS post that's been talked about.
So I thought it was actually going to happen last week, because Leslie Marsdorp, who used to be the head of Advitech for a couple of months, went over to the BRICS Bank last year, June, with Tito Mboweni. So Leslie Marsdorp is now the vice president of the NDB, and he was actually in town last week.
Mm.
So I happen to know this. So I speculated that, sure, you know, he was here to make Nene the final offer, and they were sorting out, and apparently not. Nhlanhla Nene does not have an offer from the NDB, the National Development, or the New Development Bank, or whatever they the BRICS Bank.
The BRICS Bank.
Yeah.
So he decided to resign as an MP of the ANC. He's obviously really annoyed.
But apparently he resigned last year already in December, and they've only made it kind of official, or they've only accepted it now, or put it in the news now, let us know.
Hmm.
That is skullduggery at its best.
So where to from here for Nhlanhla Nene?
I don't know. That's the question.
I mean,
right?
He'd probably be in demand as a director of some companies,
sure,
I'm sure.
Sure, I would
so
say.
So he could pick and choose.
Yeah, but he didn't seem... if he had another job to go to, don't you think he would have said so this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
So,
I think he's really cross.
I would be.
He's been treated very
understandably
badly.
Understandably so.
Yeah. And poor old Gedlehlekisa is sitting with egg on his face again.
But the fact that he lied to us
blatantly
is embarrassing.
I mean, the BRICS Bank.
Yeah,
like your finance minister's so good that he must go to the BRICS Bank and you appoint some ignoramus as your finance minister.
He's
do me a favor.
So wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, he thinks we're all as stupid as he is.
Yep. Anyway, on the market, our market closed up 36 basis points yesterday. Trades a bit slow. Only $1.3 billion traded. Huge spike in diversified miners again on Friday. Now, this is really worrying me, actually, because it makes me think of The Big Short. But Anglo American was up 12% on Friday. So year to date, it's down about 50%. But what we're attributing it to is this short squeeze that I keep talking about. And the weird thing about it is that we're all worried that the U.S. is not producing as much as it should. It's not growing as quickly as it should. And, of course, we're worried about China's hard landing. And yet, resource companies are spiking. So what's happening, we think, is that, of course, people have shorted Anglo American and the traders are now buying back their positions, which is forcing the stock higher, which is exactly, Ben, if you remember, what happened in The Big Short with the CDSs, which those three funds shorted.
Mm-hmm.
Ben's going, what is she talking about?
I don't know.
Remember?
I'm actually going to watch it twice because someone said to me on Twitter that they liked the movie, but they didn't actually understand certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Now, there were certain parts in the beginning where you actually have to maybe pause and watch a scene or two together. But it's so important you know these things.
Okay. All right.
So something's wrong. Something's wrong in the world.
So what can happen here? Because if you're drawing some kind of comparison between this and what happened with Lehman Brothers and Morgan Stanley and all the rest of it, then what you're saying is that these things are overvalued and there's going to be a burst.
That's right.
Of this bubble. When that happens, these stocks will be horribly devalued and a lot of people will lose a lot of money.
Yep, and a lot of people will lose their jobs, unfortunately. So what
happens in these companies?
Yes. So what happens with every kind of boom and bust cycle, and it's normal in an economy, is that companies have to go bust. So think of every single low economy or bust decline in the economy. The problem in 2008 is that none of the companies went bust. So we had governments propping up the banks, propping up GE, propping up AIG. when they should have let some of them go. Now, I understand that you don't want to let the banks go bust because...
You thin the herd. It's financial evolution.
Exactly.
Financial natural selection.
There you go. Natural selection. And that didn't happen in 2008, and I think it's going to have to happen now. Unfortunately, now, the companies that are under pressure are the commodities companies. So a new age, we're talking different environment, we're talking different growth areas. So, yes.
Are there any of the mining interests that you would be invested in?
Not at this stage. But then Anglo-Americans up 34% in the last five trading days, and I'm not invested in it. So I've missed out 34%, which is why, I don't know if you can tell, I'm a little bit anxious about it.
Yeah, but when it falls, you won't be sorry.
There we go. Because you know, patience. You need the time.
You sell one day before the fall, then you're okay. But one day after, you're miserable.
There you go. And that's such a good point, because a lot of people are always going, oh, let's time the market. But it's not about timing the market. You can't time the market. You don't know when that day is that it's going to fall 30%. So pick your blue chips. Stick with the ones you know. Stick with the ones that are solid companies, strong balance sheet. Dividend-paying companies are always good, because the minute a company cuts its dividend, it is a sign that it no longer has free cash.
Mm-hmm.
So we like the dividend-paying companies.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the situation in the U.S. at the moment. You mentioned it just a moment ago. They're not growing as fast as we had hoped.
Yeah.
But they're not doing badly. There are more jobs.
Yeah, they created 151,000 more jobs last month. The market was expecting 190,000.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, didn't get there. And of course, and so everyone's just sitting there going, what is going on? So the U.S.'s unemployment rate is now below 5%, which kind of is normal, which is almost what we were expecting when we talk about them increasing rates. Wages spiked, which is great. So one of the concerns is, even though the U.S. was creating jobs, was that they were creating low-paid jobs, and so wages weren't going up. So that was one of the issues. And that's now bearing fruit or coming to the fore. So, but even though they are creating jobs and things are looking good, people are still worried, because last week Tuesday, the services number or the manufacturing number wasn't as good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think everyone's just really unsure about what's happening. So, yeah, even though global markets were down on Friday, at least South African market kind of was hanging in there. I tell you what is concerning, though, is that analysts are still expecting, on average, and this is kind of consensus, about a 16% return on the S&P 500 for this year. And it is the first time, though, that the difference between analysts is huge. So what the top guy expects and what the bottom guy expects, it's been the biggest since 2008, which means there's no real understanding or consensus, or nobody knows what's going to happen going forward. Everybody's got their spreadsheet, and the smallest difference, like the smallest change in the dollar, the smallest change in the oil price or in Chinese GDP growth, makes such a big difference on your projections going forward that it's really difficult. So for me, for example, for the Aussie, my spreadsheet, I would say that South Africa stock market's going to increase between 3 and 5% on average. So what I'm looking for is the companies that will outperform, that won't go bust, that will pay good dividends, or how much of my portfolio I need to have in cash or in bonds. So because interest rates are going up, bond yields will go up. So maybe it's a good idea to stay in fixed income or to stay in a bit of cash so that you've got that kind of a surety of getting your 6 or 7 or 8% for the year.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're picking stocks, you just need to be really careful about it. So this year is going to be an interesting one. And, of course, back to the U.S., where do we go from here? You know, you saw last week we were talking about the tech stocks that were doing so well, but then the flip side, some of them are not doing so well.
Mm.
So really, stock picking again is the big thing this year, I think.
Yeah, and it sounds like there will be very, very small gains made, but those will be considered successes, and hopefully there won't be huge losses made.
And stay away from the companies that are going to make losses or that look like they could go potentially bust.
It's easier said than done, right? Yeah.
The interesting thing, of course, was on Friday, when all of this data came out, and everybody's so concerned and not sure what's going to go on in the U.S. economy, we saw kind of the dollar all over the place and subsequently the rand all over the place. So it was slightly weaker in the beginning of the day. It was over 16. And then by the end of the day, it was trading at 15.95. And then on Friday evening, it spiked up again, weakened, I should say, to over 16. So really, this volatility is just something else. It's really bizarre.
There's a question here. Anthea, what about the scam Triple M out of nowhere?
Triple M? I don't know about Triple M. I wish I had more information
on it. Okay, well, maybe you'll find out more today. Not urgent. It comes out of left field. But there is lots of interest in whether or not you should buy a home, because obviously Mubs is looking at properties at the moment in terms of places that she wants to rent. You've told her renting is better than buying.
I don't know if I said renting is better than buying. I said, what is really important at this stage, if you are buying a home, you must realize that a big portion of your cash will go into this home, and you want to be careful. So the first thing you need to be careful of is be aware that interest rates are going up. And if interest rates are going up, your mortgage is going up, or that if you've secured your mortgage, that you've secured it at a higher rate to where the interest rate currently is. And I'm just saying, be really careful because of this. It almost feels to me that if you're buying a home right now, you're not diversifying. So a big portion of your investment or your cash, your money, is sitting in this home. What happens in an economy is that interest rates go up, you struggle. If anything changes in the economy, chances are the value of your home decreases. It's almost a self-fulfilling theory, almost like an event, because what happens to a lot of people now when the economy is struggling is that interest go up, they lose their jobs, and they can't afford to pay mortgages. Then they have to sell their home. And at the same time, unfortunately, because the economy is doing so badly, the value of their home has decreased.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't give them the chance to ride it up and out. There are other options. If you want property exposure, and I think you should have property exposure, there's something called a REIT, a Real Estate Investment Trust. So these are listed property companies, and generally they pay out to they're tax beneficial. So to be tax beneficial, the rule is that they have to pay out more than, I think it is 80% or 95%, one of the two,
mm-hmm.
of their profit for the year, of their revenue for the year, which is different, sorry, their profit for the year, I should say. So actually you're getting this company's profit, or all the rental income they're making, you're getting that as a dividend every year. Now, there's some nice ones on the JC where you're getting double-digit growth. Whereas at the moment where we are in the property ladder, I think because the economy's difficult and people are going to struggle, I think you'll see property come down this year. So if you find something and you really want it, go out and buy it. Just make sure you can afford the mortgage. Make sure you can afford more than you've budgeted because rates are going up.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I think there are going to be some pockets where you can buy later on in the year, or maybe at the beginning of next year when property has come down a bit.
Okay. I think that's good advice.
Yeah.
Doesn't get simpler than that. Now, what about African Bank? We spoke about this just a while ago. What's happening there? Is there any news?
Yes, there is news. So it looks like they might be launching in April. They've come out and said that they've already paid down half their creditors, 500 million rand.
Phew.
Yeah, so they're doing okay, right?
That's all right.
Well, I say that, but don't forget what I'm talking about, the good bank now.
Yeah, no, sure.
So they extracted the bad bank. Saab is looking after that. And in the good bank, they've managed to pay back half the loans. I think when they come back to market in April, they'll probably have assets of about 54.5 billion rand on the balance sheet, which is a great thing. But the number that scares me is that the rating agencies have estimated that the African Bank will have 10 billion rands worth of non-performing loans. So this is important, because it
does
relates,
that mean people who can't pay back the
that's
loans?
That's right. So this is what we're relating to this property story.
Hmm.
And I think non-performing loans, we call them NPLs, will actually increase this year in the bank. So I'm a little bit worried, as the economy struggles, as interest rates go up, as people lose jobs, that this non-performing loan number will increase. And it'll increase with all the banks, not just the African Bank. But the number that the rating agency has come up with of $10 billion is worrying. So people are unable to repay their loans. I mean, the rating agency did finally give African Bank a rating again after they'd gone bust.
Mm-hmm.
So they've given them a B-plus rating, which is about four notches below junk status or junk
wow.
status.
How do you come back from that?
Exactly. And especially in this kind of economy, right? And I think it's almost a foregone conclusion that South Africa is going to get downgraded to junk anyway, right? We've spoken about this. We agree. We do, right?
Well, sadly, we have no option. We've got to agree.
So, I mean, there's actually been very little issuance in the South African credit market this year. And normally January is a bit quiet. We've got two auctions due this week. We've got a bank and a parastatal. But it's worrying that people are kind of sitting on the sidelines in the credit market at the moment because they don't know if they're going to get loans at the right price, in inverted commas, the right price. Because what's already happened is that we are trading pretty much in line with Russia and Brazil, who are already junk status. So we're trading, even though the rating agencies haven't officially said we are junk status, that's pretty much where we're trading. Our spreads to developed markets are wide enough to be considered junk status, basically.
Sure. All right.
A little bit worrying. Mm-hmm.
So Asian markets are closed for Chinese New Year?
Pretty much, yeah. So China, Taiwan, all of the closed the entire week. Hong Kong, Korea closed 8th to the 10th. Singapore is closed on today and tomorrow. And then even Brazil, India, and Argentina are closed today and tomorrow.
Wow. Is that the Zika virus's fault?
I don't know. Wasn't it Carnival this weekend?
Rio Carnival.
That's what it is, right. What holiday is that?
No idea.
Carnival.
Then let's get drunk and all have sex with each other, Carnival. That's Brazil.
I looked into Triple M. It's a pyramid scheme running successfully by a Russian man, Sergio Mavrodi. He's actually been convicted in Russia and spent jail time for fraud. And he's using social media in South Africa like YouTube and Twitter to entice people to invest.
How is it running successfully if he's been jailed?
He's only been jailed in Russia.
So it's okay for us to invest in South Africa, Sax?
He's tricking people through YouTube videos on a YouTube page and stuff like that.
Oh, my God, please stay away from that. Please do not go anywhere near Triple M.
There we go. That's all you need to know. Thank you, Anthea.
All right.
Very good.
Guys.
Anthea Gardner, just after 7 o'clock and the Money Shot on Mondays. Nice extended version. We've also got Rich Mulholland coming in a bit later on, as he always does on a Monday. And Fiona Snickers will be in later on. She's written a book called Now Following You. It's a novel, but it's about the kind of stalking and the crazy stuff that happens in social media where you end up with someone who is following your every move. They like everything you do. They see all your pictures. There are people who do this, and it's a scary book.
Oh, like a Justin Bieber or Beyonce fan.
Yes, like Sia is to Beyonce or like Michael Flex is to Justin Bieber.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll just keep to myself.
Yeah. All right, Mubs has got some news coming up next. I got this from Stacy. She sent me a little mashup that she thought we might like. Do you want to hear it?
Mm-hmm.
Little mashup of a couple of songs. Take a listen to this. Tell me if you like it. And we'll take your calls. We haven't taken a call yet this morning. 0861-555-189. That's what I loved about Friday. We had lots and lots of calls.
You got all dressed up for the club. Waiting on Nick to pick you up. Baby.
I'm sure you got some things you'd like to change about yourself.
CliffCentral.com.